Galatians chapter number 5, once again, book of Galatians chapter number 5. We've dealt for several weeks on the verses here from verses 7 down through verse 10. Basically, it was in verse 7. This morning, I'm going to pick up verse 8, but let's read the verses 7 through 10 here. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 7, the Apostle Paul writes here, he said, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So, I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be." We're going to really deal with the last three verses there. In speaking about this matter of running well and being hindered, we have already taken a look at, and Paul interjects the phrase there found in verse number 9, that he uses here with this church, but he also used it with the church that he wrote the letter to in 1 Corinthians. And that's this little phrase, "a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." What does he mean by that, and why is he using that here? Well, first of all, I want you to understand what leaven is. What is leaven? Leaven is yeast, which is actually a powerful fungus that when mixed with a lump of dough, it causes it to rise when making bread. It's also used to ferment liquids and alcohol, and those who have ever had a yeast infection, you can testify that it can be painful at times if you get a yeast infection. But principally, leaven, as referred to here, was used in much the same way that yeast is today. It made bread rise before baking. Many of you ladies may be familiar with the term a starter with regard to bread making. In the process of bread making, if somebody makes really good bread, you might want to get their starter because it means they got some really good, powerful yeast. And you mix it in with your flour and your dough there. And what it does is it introduces it throughout that whole bundle of dough that you have, and you save a little piece of that for your starter next time. And it's used in the fermentation process and bread baking. Now, for people living in New Testament age, the only method of reproducing yeast was to save that small piece of unbaked dough, which would later be used to start that fermentation process in the next batch of bread. What does the Bible say about leaven? The first mention of leaven in scriptures is actually found in the book of Exodus chapter number 12. And in three places there, in Exodus 12, verse 15, verse 19, and in the next chapter, chapter 13, verse number 7. And this was when the first Passover was instituted. Remember when the Lord instituted the Passover, the death angel was going to come, and they had to kill the Passover lamb, and there was a lot of things they had to do with regard to the Passover. Well, it was established as a memorial, the Passover was. And one of the things that was involved in this is to make sure that there was no leaven. You had to have no leaven. And because a small piece of leaven was able to cause a relatively large amount of dough to rise, the term leaven was often used figuratively to represent any kind of influence. Although in Scripture the word is used almost universally to represent evil, evil influence, or false doctrine. Throughout the Bible, leaven is a symbol of evil. And you need to remember that whenever you see it mentioned in Scripture. You'll find in the Old Testament that not only was it to be removed from the Jewish homes during Passover, according to Exodus 12 and Exodus 13, but it was also excluded from the sacrifices. According to Exodus 34, verse 25, it says, "Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leaven, neither shall the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover be left unto the morning." So they were not to mix leaven in with their sacrifice, with the exception of the loaves that were used on the Feast of Pentecost in Leviticus 23, verses 15 through 21. And you say, well, why in the world would he allow leaven in the bread there? Understand that in Leviticus 23, verses 15 through 21, they didn't know it because it was still a mystery then, but the leavened loaves symbolized the Jews and the Gentiles together in one body in the church. And unfortunately, there is sin in the church, as Jesus pointed out in his messages to the seven churches in Asia. Remember, he was telling them the things that they needed to correct in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. We know that we're not free of sin in our church, are we? When we're not, you know, if we think that we are, we're deceived. And so that's the reason why the symbolism is there, the Jews and the Gentiles together in that one body. Now let's give some examples of leaven and what it represents from the Scriptures. I want you to hold your place there in Galatians, but if you'll turn with me to the book of Matthew, Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 13. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 13, and I want to see the use by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, His use of the term leaven. We see a parable here. He has a parable in Matthew 13 and verse 33. And notice what it says. Matthew 13, verse 33 says, another parable spake he unto them. He says here, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Now, if you just take and pull that verse out of the context wherein it is, you might have a little bit of trouble understanding what he's talking about. I want you to notice that this parable is given along with other parables dealing with false doctrine and false living. In fact, we see, first of all, the parable of the tares of the field, mentioned in verse, look back to verse 21, Matthew 13, verse 21. And he talks about, you can back up a little bit further, verse number 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. And they said, when one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. That this is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that receiveth seed in the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. And he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth the seed into the good ground, he it is that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. And then we see that not only the parable of the sower, but we see the parable of the tares is mentioned down in verse number 24. He says, another parable he put forth unto them, saying the kingdom of heaven. Notice he's using the kingdom of heaven as likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. And while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Well, as Jesus tells this parable, his disciples come back and ask him to explain this particular parable. It's set amongst these other parables, but they were a little bit confused about what the parable of the tares was talking about. I want you to skip down to verse 37 and see what the Lord Jesus said about this parable. And in verse number 36, then Jesus sent the multitude away, went to the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. He says the enemy that sowed them is the devil. So see, Jesus is making it very clear here what this particular parable is dealing with, who the players are in that. And he says that the harvest is the end of the world and the reapers are the angels. And therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, they shall gather out of his kingdom all that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun and the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, it's important to note that the tares in this parable, tares look just like wheat when they're growing up. They look just like wheat. And so, if the enemy sowed among the wheat, the tares, you wouldn't realize, you wouldn't come to recognize that you had tares until the time of harvest. When harvest time came, then when you would recognize that the wheat would give forth wheat, but the tares had nothing there. And that was the problem with the Judaizers in Galatians. They appeared to be brethren, but they were false brethren. And the Galatian Christians were deceived by these Judaizers just the same way that the tares mixed in among the wheat. It's kind of hard to tell the difference. I mean, they were talking the talk. You know, they had a good religious sound to them. They were using the Word of God. They were, they appeared to be brethren, but they were false brethren. Now we see another parable in verse number 31 and 32 of this of Matthew 13. He said, and this is the parable of the mustard seed. Notice verse 31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Now, this particular parable illustrates the false outward expansion of the kingdom. When you take a look at Christendom, okay, everything that comes under the term Christendom or Christianity, whenever they're giving statistics of how many Christians are in the world, they include all of Christendom, not necessarily true Christians, okay? And the birds of the air lodging in the branches here really represent what we might call Christendom, or all that goes by the name of Christianity, much of which are false. And again, this was the problem with the Judaizers. They appeared to be Christian, but they denied the sufficiency of Christ. If anyone denies the sufficiency of the gospel of Christ, of Christ himself, his death, burial, and resurrection, if they deny his sufficiency to save, and they want to add something to it, if they want to take something away from it, you better leave them alone. Because they may be under the big umbrella of Christian, but they're not really anything other than a false prophet. And then we see the parable of the leaven. And in verse 33, the hidden leaven illustrates really the development of both false doctrine and false living, or hypocrisy. And we know that there's a lot of that in there. There's a lot in even in true churches, there can be hypocrisy, and there can be at times, we try to guard against it here as much as we can. I'm on the lookout for it all the time, against false doctrine. Now, we see, read verse 33 again, and see what it says. Another parable he spake unto them, the kingdom of heaven is likened to leaven. And remember, leaven is a negative connotation, which a woman took, hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. So you got a problem here. If you allow leaven to stay within, what does it do? It leavens the whole lump. It leavens the whole lump. And that's what the Apostle Paul was saying in the passage there in the book of Galatians chapter number 5. We see another warning of Jesus. Look at Matthew 16. Matthew 16, and we want to notice verses 6 through 12. And here's Jesus warning to his disciples regarding the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now see, the Pharisees and Sadducees were some very religious folks. they were supposed to be men of the book. Amen? I mean, that's what they were supposed to be. But nevertheless, they did not see the sufficiency of Christ. They did not see Christ for who He was. Notice verse number 6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed, and notice He says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. When Jesus perceived, He said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? It says, then understood they how that He bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. So Jesus was warning here about false doctrine. Jesus was referring to the false doctrine. There's also a small verse, I'm not going to have you turn there, but Luke 12:1, and it's another warning of Jesus to His disciples regarding the leaven of the Pharisees. And here's just the last phrase out of Luke 12:1. He told them, He said, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And so it was false living. False doctrine, false living. Hypocrisy was when somebody says one thing and they live another. Okay? And that's what the Pharisees did. They were, it's a play actor. And to them, what they were doing with their religion, it wasn't real in their life. They were saying one thing, but they were not living by what even they had to say others should live by. Now, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. We'll see another use, and this is by the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. And we see here Paul's warning to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 5. Just to remind you what was going on here, you had a member of the church, supposed to be a born-again Christian, member of this Corinthian church who was having relations with his father's wife. Bad stuff. Something that even the Gentiles did not do in that day and time. And they were all about their liberty and thought, boy, isn't it great that we have such liberty that somebody could be involved in that and we can just accept them right in? And we're seeing a lot of this today. A lot of this today with regard to transgender and homosexuals. And listen, those folks need Christ just like anybody else. But they're not to be a part of the church until they repent of their sin and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Amen. Now, they're free to come and hear the preaching of the gospel, but they're not free to be a part of the church. Am I making myself clear? Can you understand where we're coming from? You have a situation here, and notice what he says there in verse number 2. He says, and ye are puffed up. What does leaven do? It puffs up. It puffs up the dough, doesn't it? He said, you're puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together in my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. What was he saying they needed to do? Exercise church discipline. Put them outside of the fellowship of the church. They're no longer a part of the fellowship. And here's what he says in verse 16. Here's what I want you to know. He says, your glorying is not good. See, they were puffed up and they were glorying in that they could have such liberty. And he says, know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Know ye not the little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And so we see here that the Corinthians church was slowly becoming disabled by the sin that they had allowed to continue in their midst. They quietly, when you think about sin and false doctrine, they're both like leaven. Okay, whether you're talking about sin, false doctrine, or hypocrisy, they quietly grow. Right? They slowly grow, they corrupt, and they puff up. That's exactly what leaven does. Back to our text in the book of Galatians. The Galatian church was slowly becoming corrupted and disabled by false doctrine that they had allowed to creep into the church. And here's the point. A small amount of sin or false doctrine can corrupt the thinking and behavior of a large group of people in the church. Now, it's never pleasant to have to deal with somebody with a matter of church discipline. It's never easy, but listen, when it's needed, it's right to do. It's biblical to do. And so, let's take a look at the third thing here. What is the leaven level that we are comfortable with? What should be the leaven level? Zero. Because why? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Let me ask on the personal level, what is the leaven level that we are comfortable with tolerating in our personal life, as well as in the life of our church? I want to look at two lessons that we can learn about how sin and false doctrine slowly hinders us and takes us out of the running of our race that the Lord has given to us. First of all, we must understand leaven's origin. Look at chapter number 5 there, Galatians 5, and we want to look at verse 7 and 8. He said, "You did run well." We preached several messages on that. I believe it was 3 messages about running well. "Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" Remember what we said last week about who was the main person behind the hindering? It's a who. Satan's the one that's behind it. Now, Satan has manifested, there's some who's locally, but the big who is Satan himself. But he said, "Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" He said, "This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you." Now, the Judaizers were being influenced by Satan, is what they were being influenced by. It did not come from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul wanted them to know. This persuasion did not come from the one that called you. The one that called you is Christ. And in Christ, you're going to find your sufficiency. Listen, Paul points away from God as the source of the Judaizers' teaching. Sin and false doctrine do not come from God. I don't care how much Bible a person uses. I don't care how religious they sound. I don't care how well they maintain themselves and they can appear to be very religious. If it don't line up with the book, it's not from God. It's just not. Anytime sin or false doctrine are present, we need to realize that God didn't have anything to do with it. And the Judaizers' message was about the works of the law. They were all about, well, yeah, accepting Jesus, that's a good thing, but you got to do the law. You got to be circumcised, and you got to keep all the stuff with regard to the law. They didn't get that from God. Okay? Their message was works about the works of the law, not about God's work of grace through Christ. Because if you got law, you can't have grace. If you got to do the law in order to get to heaven, there's no grace in that. There's no grace. What does the law say do? You got to do it or you're going to die. What does grace say? Now, you're no good sinner, but you can be saved through Christ Jesus. Amen. Christ paid the price for your sin, and you can be saved. And what He did for you is sufficient. And this is, there are many folks who have gotten off course because of a flawed message. God didn't call them, I'm talking about the Galatians, didn't call them or us by the law. And God didn't call them or us into the law. God called us by His grace and into His grace. And any message that says God's grace is insufficient for our salvation, we can immediately know that's not from God. If somebody tries to add something to the gospel, tries to take away something from the gospel, we know that they are not right. Then we must understand leaven's results. Leaven's results. What are the results of leaven? Well, verse number 9. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. If you don't deal with it, it's going to cause a problem. Listen, if you don't deal with it in your personal life, it's going to wreak havoc in your personal life. Talking about sin or false doctrine. You better get it straight. Amen? Because it's going to do nothing but grow. What about your family life? Same thing. You need to take care of it. What about our church life? Yes. At any level, the first result is that leaven spreads. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And we've seen how leaven or yeast is usually used in Scripture to illustrate the penetrating and corrupting influence of evil or sin and also false doctrine. And when sin or false doctrine are allowed a foothold in a church or in a family, or in your own life, it can corrupt the whole. We've had some folks at Miss Penny. I'm going to use Miss Penny as an example. The last year she had cancer in her body. And that cancer, if they didn't do anything to it, it was a corrupting influence in her body. And if they just let it go, what was it going to do? It was going to kill her. It was going to take over her body and kill her. What needed to be done? It had to be dealt with. Amen? It had to be dealt with. Listen, sin can start with one or two, but very quickly it can spread through the entire body of the church. So the first result is that leaven spreads. The second result is that leaven ends in judgment. And that's verse 10. Notice verse 10. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you, talking about both the Judaizers and the one behind them, Satan, okay? He that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. Now, we see the end result of these that held on to this false doctrine. The real believer will get back on track. Amen? Paul says in so many words here, God's going to deal judgment on the troublemaker. The Judaizers were telling the Galatians that God was going to come down hard on them if they didn't obey the Mosaic law. You've got to get circumcised, you've got to practice the ceremonial rites and the cleansing, and if you don't do that, God's going to come down hard on you. And Paul says, no, it's the troubling, these troublemaking Judaizers who are going to be judged by God because they're not teaching about God's grace. Leaven needs to be dealt with by the church, and then God will ultimately deal with the perpetrators. Let me tell you a story. I heard there was an atheist farmer who was often, he often took the opportunity to ridicule people who believed in God. And he wrote this letter to the editor of local newspaper in his town. And I quote his letter. He says, I plowed on Sunday, I planted on Sunday, cultivated on Sunday, and hauled my crops on Sunday. But I never went to church on Sunday. Yet I harvested more bushels per acre than anyone else. even those who are God-fearing and never miss a service. And the editor printed the man's letter, and then he added this remark. He said, God doesn't always settle his accounts in October. Judgment is coming, right? Judgment is coming. The editor was right. God doesn't, you may not see God settle his accounts here, but God's going to settle his accounts. Listen, the Galatian church was slowly becoming disabled by the small amount of false doctrine in its midst. A small amount of sin or false doctrine can corrupt the thinking of a large group of people in the church. Now, in closing, he asked three questions. What kind of leaven have you allowed in your personal life? Some of you may be tolerating sin and holding on to wrong doctrine in your personal life. You've heard me stand up here and preach against certain things, and you still in your life, you cling on to doctrine that goes against what the Bible teaches. If you don't deal with those things, they will harm your life. They will. Second thing, what kind of leaven have you allowed in your family life? Listen, if you're tolerating things in the home that God's Word is against, if you don't deal with those things, they will harm your family's lives. And then when leaven comes in the form of sin or false doctrine here at the church, I wonder, are you going to be willing to be on board with dealing with it? I don't know the problem right now, but I'm just saying it could come right down the road. Okay? Are you going to be on board with dealing with it? Are you going to be of the kind today that they want to tolerate anything that comes into the church? You know? We've got to be willing to handle these things in a biblical way. One of my favorite cartoon strips is Frank and Ernest. I remember one time in one of those cartoons, Frank was in the courtroom standing before the judge, and the judge tells him, says, it's guilty or not guilty. You can't plead. I got to be me. I got to be me is not a plea. I say, well, preacher, this is just the way that I am. You think God's going to accept that? He's not. It may be humorous because it touches a reality in our culture which places the need for self-expression above the need for morality, integrity, and honor. But listen, God has nothing to do with that. God is looking for that integrity of heart. Jesus warned His followers to beware of the wicked and adulterous generation in which they lived. Listen, our days are worse than the days in which He spoke. These are apostate times. People are drifting farther and farther away from the truth. Are we going to tolerate and join in with that? Or are we going to beware and say, look, I may be good for that church down the road, but we're not going to deal with that here. We're not dealing with that here. You know, they can tolerate all they want to down there, but we're going to stick with the Word of God. Amen? A warning against leaven. I wondered this morning, do you know the Lord? You know, because if you don't know the Lord, the leaven of sin is just destroying your life right now. It's going to take you straight to hell. And the longer you wait, the more hardened you're going to become because of sin. Come to know the Lord Jesus Christ today. Christ died for our sins, according to Scripture. He was buried and He rose again the third day. That is the fact. He lives, and He wants to give you new life today. Come, let us help you today. I'll be standing down front as we play invitational hymn. But us as Christians, what are we doing with the leaven that we come and to contact with in our personal lives, in our family life, and in our church life? What do we do? What are we going to do? Amen. Let's pray. Father, ask that You take these words and, Lord, help us, Lord, to embrace Your truth, the truth of Your Word, and, Lord, to understand the great necessity to get the leaven out, because a little leaven is going to leaven the whole lump. Help us with these truths, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able to stand, let's stand. Play a hymn of invitation as I always do and invite you to come.